There's a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Lametes, which famously asks for sources for the name of Moshe, the name of Esther, and the name of Mordechai in the Torah. Esther min HaTorah minayin, for example, the Gemara says from the Pasuk in the end of the Torah, in the end of Dvarim, Vanochi Aster Asteras Panai Mehem. I'm going to hide my face, and Esther is a remez to a time in history when there was Hester Panam, because Baruch Hu hid himself, didn't openly display the miracles and Hashgacha Pratis that were behind the Purim story. What's surprising in that same string of questioning, the Gemara asks, what is the source for Haman? The question is, who cares? Why do we need a source for Haman? I get it, if you want to have a source for the heroes, the ones that save the day, the ones that that make a difference, okay, fine, but why do we need a source for Haman? So the Gemara says that it's actually rooted in Bereishis, but I don't want to focus on the answer to the Gemara. Forgive me, just took out the wrong volume. I'd rather focus on the question itself. Why are we so interested in Haman's name? So there is another Gemara that appears in Sanhedrin on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara over there says that we have a pasuk in Shmos, in Mishpatim. Chol asher amarti l'chati shameru. Everything that I've told you, please, you must observe. The names of other gods you may not mention, they shall not be heard on your lips. And the Gemara has a few nafkaminas of what that instructs us against. We're not supposed to go into a partnership with a goy because we have some sort of dispute, some sort of need for an oath to be taken. Then I'm going to cause him to take an oath in the name of his god. And even that is a problem. Even if I just cause him to invoke the name of Avodah Zarah, it's problematic. And certainly, I can't invoke the name of an Avodah Zarah myself. For example, the Gemara gives the example. If I want to tell you, let's meet this afternoon by the church. Gemara says, you can't do that. Don't use the church as your landmark. Don't use the Avodah Zarah as the place that you're going to mark your meeting place. Come up with the Carvel down the block or something like that. But not the church. Lo Yisham Al Picha. Interestingly enough, the Chassam Sofer is quoted over here by the Pardes Yosef that the double lashon in the pasuk, it's on the one hand it's Shem Elohim Acherim Lo Saskiru, but Lo Yisham Al Picha. So Lo Yisham Al Picha means to actually hear it, to enunciate it. So the Saskiru means that you shouldn't even think it. Right? That's why we have in Parsha Zachar you have Lo Sishkach and you also have Zachar Bepeh. There are two different dimensions. You shouldn't even think about the name of the Avodah Zarah. That's why Jewish practice for many, many centuries is to say Xmas or Kratzmach and not refer to the name of the Christian deity whatsoever. And even Chazal used the term Yeshu, or we use the term Yashka more recently to distort the name of the Avodah Zarah. Mark is one exception to the rule. It's not there's other exceptions not mentioned over here. The Gemara says Lahavin Lahoris. Anytime there's an educational purpose in mentioning the name of the Avodah Zarah, it's permissible. You look through Maseches Avodah Zarah. There's lots of examples of that where we're invoking the name of Avodah Zarah for the purposes of teaching halacha. Here the Gemara gives another example. The Gemara says that anytime a name of Avodah Zarah is found in the Torah itself, then it is not subject to this prohibition. Okay, for example, in Parshas Bishalach, what does it say? That Nechacho Sachanu Aliyam. Right? On the one hand, the marker, the landmark, was that they were encamped opposite the sea, but it was also Mul Beis Peor. Okay? So you see, the Torah uses a direct reference to the name of Avodah Zarah. So how could that be? So the Gemara says it's an exception. It doesn't apply if it's in the Torah. Why should that make a difference? So the Chida says this is a little more of a joke. He actually says it's a little more of a joke. It's a cute shot. He says, because if you look at the beginning of the pasuk, it says, Kol Asher, anything I say to you, that's good. You can keep that. But the other ones, you can't mention. Okay? He on a Kabbalistic level, the Chida says that if the name of the Avodah Zarah is in the Torah, there's still something totos. There's still some kedusha left for us to reference that. That can be a positive and productive accomplishment. But on the more halachic level, there's two explanations for this. The Shulta seems to imply that the reason is because if the Torah uses the term, so we also have to learn Torah, right? So we're supposed to use the word that the Torah uses in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Torah. So if Hashem used it, came into Ishri. If Hashem used it, part of the Torah we're supposed to learn from the Torah, then we can use that term as well. We actually go so far as to pinpoint in Maseches Brachos, when you're doing Shnayim Mikra, there's certain places in the Torah that don't have any targum, right? Ataris V'divon, the Gemara gives that example. The names of locations on the Eivar Yarden, where the Jewish people took over from Sichon and Og, they're named as Ataris V'divon. If you look in the targum, it's the same name. Am I really accomplishing anything by reading it again? So Tosfos says, if you look in the Targum Yerushalmi, there are other names, the former names of those locations, which were originally names of Avodah Zarah. They were the landmarks of the churches, of the temples, whatever. And the Bnei Reuven, Bnei Gad, they changed the names. So Kamash Vlan, when I'm reading Shai Mikra, since my mitzvah is to learn the Torah, I'm allowed to even say the names that are mentioned in the Targum, not only the ones that are mentioned in the Pasuk itself. The second reason that's given by the Urim, Rabbi Lezer, that's one of the Moni HaMitzvos, one of the Rishonim, he says, because if it's written in the Torah, that is a proof that the Avodah Zarah was batal. We have a concept that if you take an idol and you smash it, I should say if the Goy smashes it, if a non-Jew displays his rejection of that as a deity, then it no longer has the same prohibition. This is the basis of a famous tshuva that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein wrote to Rabbi Parnas, Rabbi Yehuda Parnas, formerly of OIU, then of Landers, about the permissibility of learning Greek mythology and the like. A type of worship that has absolutely no significance or no meaning to anyone on the face of the earth currently. So that might be permissible in light of the fact that it no longer has its significance to it. So too, if it's mentioned in the Torah, that's a raya that it was something which was already batal. And that's the permissibility of this factor because, as Rabbi Yosef Engel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to keep the Torah also. The Midrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the Torah. So if he used the name of the Avodah Zarah, it must be it was already batal, and therefore it is batal for us as well. Getting back to our question, why is the Gemara looking for a source for the name of Haman in the Torah? So it's interesting. The name Haman may not actually have been his name. Okay, it wasn't Haman either. Okay, I don't know what it really was, but Josephus and other sources indicate that the name Haman was the name of Avodah Zarah. We have other sources in the Gemara that back that up. It was the name of Avodah Zarah, and he took that name upon himself. Whatever he wore on his chest that he had people bow down to was the symbol of some constellation that was by the name of Haman, something along those lines. So far does Rev Yonatan Reibshitz go that the real reason why the name of Hashem is not in the Megillah is because the name of Haman is so rampant, there's no way the Shem Hashem could be mentioned in the Megillah as well. I would dare to say maybe that's the basis for our minhag of trying to stamp out the name Haman because it was the name of Avodah Zarah, Lo Yishom Al Picha. We don't even want to hear the Baal Kori say the name of Haman. We do, but in theory we don't want to. So a Talmud of mine, his name is Yechiel Van Dyke. He was my shiur a few years ago from Amsterdam. How else did he get the name Van Dyke? So he suggested, and I found today, Rabbi Yosef Eibschitz himself says this, the pshat and why the Gemara is looking for a source for Haman in the Torah is because otherwise we wouldn't be able to say the name of Haman. Otherwise, Mordechai Nesser wouldn't have been able to say the name of Haman. Once it's in the Torah, Hamina Eitz in Parshas Bereishis, therefore it becomes permissible for us to say. A little Purim Torah, but hopefully a little practical halacha as well. Yes,